Why don't we stand together and clap hands and lift voices to that name that is above every name. Lord, we worship you. Hallelujah. If you found that name to be worthy in your life, would you just praise him for a few more moments? Lord, we praise you. God, we worship you. We magnify you. We exalt your name. You're glorious. You are high and lifted up, O Lord. We praise your great name. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, youth choir. What a great, wonderful job you did. And isn't he glorious? Isn't he glorious? Isn't he worthy of every clapped hand and every lifted voice? Praise God. What a mighty God we serve, and what a great thing to be a part of his church, to be a part of his kingdom. Praise God. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 28. Luke chapter 1 and beginning with verse number 28. I will forewarn you, those of you that are turning, and some of you that are looking at the screen, you're looking at this and saying this is a few days early, Brother Levine. This is typically a Christmas text, and I do love Christmas, and I know there's some folks in here that feel the same. All right, thank you, Pastor Brad. In fact, I'm sure somebody here probably knows how many days it is until Christmas. Anybody know? Many? Not that many? Not many? Well, can't get here soon enough for me and most of the children here probably. I guess I'm just a big kid. But this is not a Christmas message, but I figured we'd turn to a Christmas text here at least. Luke chapter 1 and verse 28. And having come in, the Bible says, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you." Aren't you glad to know that the Lord is with you? There's nothing like knowing that God is on our side. Amen? He said, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said unto her, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." You know, if you just grab that phrase out of verse 28, and combine it with that phrase in verse 30. This isn't my message, but if you know the Lord is with you, you don't have to be afraid tonight. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and will bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Aren't you thankful for that great name? And then the angel goes on to describe this Jesus. And he will be great. We found him to be great. We chose the word glorious tonight, but he's great. And he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give to him the throne. Everybody say the throne. The throne of his father David, and he will reign. Everybody say reign. We know that means, that's not, of course, referring to the rain that falls outside that was falling this morning when we walked in, was falling tonight when we walked in, different spelling, different rain. He is going to rule, the Bible is saying, over the house of Jacob forever. When this Jesus comes, he's going to rule and reign forever. And I love that last phrase, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Aren't you thankful to be a part of the kingdom of God? A kingdom that has no end. I'm going to preach to you about the power of the kingdom. Would you just clap your hands and lift your voice and praise one more time to the Lord? Let's worship him and thank him for the opportunity to be a part of the kingdom. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We're thankful for your kingdom. We're thankful that you're our king, and we worship you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And you can be seated. The kingdom. It's our theme this year at APC, Kingdom First. And we've spent a lot of time covering it Wednesdays and Sundays. If you distill, if you tried to distill all of Jesus' teaching into one word, or into one phrase, or into one theme. If you, examined what theme it was that would occupy more of his parables. What theme would occupy more of his teaching? What theme would occupy more of his preaching? That theme is very clearly the kingdom of God. It's not just that we're here having church or a part of a church or doing church. It's this kingdom. It's more than programs and services on midweeks and weekends, a place to worship on weekends. But everything that we are doing is about the kingdom of God. If you boil it all down, compress it all down, it comes down to the kingdom. Everybody say the kingdom. And if you recognize that it is about a kingdom, and I'll say at the outset here, there's more topic and more time you could spend on the subject of the kingdom than we certainly have tonight. And I would encourage you, if you weren't around for the Wednesdays and the Sundays that we spent earlier on in the year, you can talk to Brother Thomas Van Winkle. I'm sure he can get you audio recordings of those services, and we went in more in depth. But if you talk about a kingdom, you've got to immediately acknowledge that if there is a kingdom, then there must be a king. There is no kingdom if there is no king. It's hard to truly comprehend or grasp this concept of a king and a kingdom in our Western mindset, because most kings that are king in title only in today's culture, in today's world, are ceremonial kings only. But I've come to preach here tonight on this Sunday night that our king is not simply a ceremonial king. Our king is not just some powerless figurehead. Our king is not some ruler that has no power and just occupies a ceremonial office. But our king is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. That's why the angel said in our text to Mary, "And behold, you're going to conceive and you're going to bring forth a son, and this son is going to be called Jesus. He will be great. He'll be the Son of the Most High, and he's going to sit on the throne of his father David." That's my king that he's talking about. That's your king that he was prophesying about. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. I've come to preach something very simple tonight and reaffirm what most of you already know, and that is that we are a part of a kingdom that has no end, and we are serving a king whose power is absolutely limitless. Aren't you thankful to be a part of the kingdom of God tonight? Praise God. We are a part of that same kingdom that the angel told Mary about. In this kingdom, his word is law. This kingdom is not a democracy. And aren't you thankful for that? We're not voting for who our king is going to be. We're not worried that in 4 years our king's going to get voted out. You can't vote him in, and you can't vote him out. That's our king. You can't impeach him, and you can't overrule him. That's our king. We've got a king. He has no court or Congress to answer to. We don't have to worry about the king that you and I serve, about some army sneaking in at night with a surprise attack and overthrowing our king and this kingdom. We don't have to worry about any of that, because he is a sovereign God, and we don't just have a king, but we serve the King of all kings. I'm preaching tonight that he is the Ancient of Days. He is the great I Am. Heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. I'm preaching that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isaiah said he is high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple, and the angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy," and the entire place begins to shake at the power and the glory of this king. He is the King of Kings and the Lord. And the power of this kingdom can only come into play, and the power of this king can only come to fruition in a life, in a church, in a city, in a group, in a body of believers. The power comes to play when we come fully submitted to that king and fully submitted to his kingdom. Thy kingdom come is the prayer we're taught to pray. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The reality we understand is that if his kingdom could come in us, then his kingdom can come in this world. The power of the kingdom is released through submission to the king and submission to his law. Aren't you thankful for the law of his word that we have? We've been talking about it on Wednesday nights, the series is going to continue on Wednesday nights. We're thankful for the word of God. We're thankful for the power of his law. And when we submit ourselves to that law, and when we submit ourselves to that word, we release the power of the kingdom in our life. There are numerous scriptures and parables that we can find that illustrate the power of this kingdom, but none better than those that we find, I believe, in Matthew chapter 13. These parables that are often referred to as kingdom parables. Now, while there are seven parables, I don't have time to spend time on all of them, certainly tonight, and certainly not time to exhaust any of them. But just to give a snapshot of a couple of these here this evening to help us to realize the power of the kingdom that we have access to. You would think perhaps that maybe the Lord could just give us one story or one parable or one scripture that would illustrate his kingdom for us. But the reality is that the kingdom is so diverse. The kingdom of God is so unique in all the universe that one story couldn't do it justice. That it takes multiple perspectives to understand and comprehend what the kingdom of God is all about. So what is the power of the kingdom? We see it again and again in Matthew chapter 13. We see the power of the kingdom in the parable of the sower and the soil. And this parable teaches us many things, but one of the things that this parable teaches us is that the power of the kingdom comes into play, is that when we put our efforts in the kingdom, our efforts are always miraculously multiplied. He said a sower went out to sow seed. Now, you could really dive down into this, and often it's called the parable of the sower, but really, it's probably more accurately described as the parable of the soils, because the parable is really about the type of ground that the seed fell on. The seed is the same seed. Pastor just said it recently. We're preaching the same word that was preached 81 years ago. We're preaching the same word that was established by the apostles and the prophets. We're preaching that same word. We understand that the seed is good seed. Aren't you thankful for the good seed of the word of God? The seed is good seed, but what we find in this parable is that when our kingdom efforts find fertile ground, our efforts are multiplied. You don't just plant a seed with the expectation of getting one seed in return. That wouldn't be any good at all. If you just plant one seed and get one seed in return, you might as well just eat the seed and die. You're just going to keep getting one seed. You're not going to have anything to eat. But the power of the kingdom is that when I throw my life into it, when you throw your efforts into the kingdom, God miraculously multiplies your efforts. What are you saying tonight? I know this is simple preaching, but I'm saying keep praying, keep fasting, keep being faithful, keep giving. You may say, I don't have a lot, I'm not doing a lot, but when you put your life in the kingdom, your efforts are multiplied. Oh, I feel it here tonight. I feel faith here tonight. I speak a word of faith to somebody here tonight. You may not feel like your efforts are much, but God keeps good notes. I know I say it a lot, but God keeps good notes. He sees your kingdom efforts. He sees your kingdom faithfulness. And in due season. Oh, I speak that word of faith to somebody here tonight. In due season, you're going to reap if you faint not. Just keep sowing your life into the kingdom. Just keep living your life for the kingdom. Just keep throwing yourself into the kingdom. And God will multiply your efforts. The power of the kingdom is seen again in the parable of the wheat and the tares. Again, the parable of the wheat and the tares, we can draw multiple lessons from this parable. But can I preach to you tonight that one of the things that this parable teaches us is that the enemy cannot stop the kingdom. Let me say it again. The enemy cannot stop the kingdom. While they slept, the enemy, the Bible says, came in verse 24 and 25, and he sowed tares or weeds, if you will, among the wheat. While they slept, the enemy came in and tried to circumvent the crop of wheat that was going to come forth. The enemy didn't bother to try to burn the field down. The enemy didn't bother to try to destroy the field altogether, but isn't that just like the enemy? He just tries to sow seeds of weeds into the kingdom of God. He'll do that in various ways, but I've come to declare tonight that the kingdom still stands. And the enemy cannot stop the kingdom of God. You read in this parable that the wheat and the tares grew up side by side. And of course the instruction was given, don't go try to root out all the tares, because if you try to rip up all the weeds, you're going to damage some good wheat too. What's that tell me? That tells me is that the kingdom of God is strong enough to stand on its own. I hope you're not losing sleep about what's going on in North Korea. I hope you're not losing sleep about what's going on somewhere in the U.S. or in our city. I hope you're not losing sleep about what's going on at your workplace or what the enemy's doing here or what the adversary's doing there. Because brothers and sisters, if you're a part of the kingdom of God, if you are planted in the kingdom of God, you can just keep right on growing in Him. You can stay. And no matter what the enemy tries to sow against you, the enemy cannot stop the kingdom. Scripture declares that the very gates of hell shall not prevail against this kingdom. Aren't you thankful for that truth? I love this parable in that the wheat doesn't even seem to care about the tares. Aren't you thankful that the church just keeps growing right in the midst of an ungodly world? The church just keeps growing right in the midst of the chaos of our society. The enemy cannot stop the church. We understand that the kingdom is an unstoppable force. I read in Matthew 13 that the power of the kingdom is displayed again in the parable of the mustard seed. This parable of the mustard seed teaches us that even little things matter in the kingdom of God. Look at your neighbor, say, little things and people matter in the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about the vertically challenged necessarily. Some of you lifted your hands. But little things matter in the kingdom of God. Little people matter in the kingdom of God. This parable teaches us, among other things, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed into a field. The man plants the mustard seed. There's a particular place, a particular effort, an intentionality in which with which he plants that mustard seed. The scripture lets us know this mustard seed that starts out as one of the smallest of all the common seeds of the field. This mustard seed that starts out seemingly as one of the most insignificant seeds of all the seeds that the farmer could plant, and yet the kingdom of heaven is likened to that mustard seed. What does that mean? What's the point of that? What is that? What does all that amount to? Now, oftentimes, maybe we've heard that if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, that's somehow an indication that if you have little faith, that somehow little faith is pleasing to God, but That's really missing the point of the illustration in the parable of the mustard seed. Because five times in the Gospels, Jesus rebuked small faith. Jesus rebuked little faith. He said, "Oh ye of little faith." The parable of the mustard seed was not teaching us that it's okay to have little faith. But the parable of the mustard seed is teaching us that when you put what little you have into the kingdom, that it can grow and it can flourish. It's teaching us that the power of the kingdom is illustrated when God takes something that is seemingly small, something or someone that is seemingly insignificant. The kingdom, the power of the kingdom is illustrated in that God can take anybody. And God can take any little effort and he can put it in his kingdom and it can grow and it can flourish. Oh, aren't you thankful that God puts you in his kingdom? I don't know about you. Maybe there's some that feel like you deserve to be here, but I don't deserve to be in the kingdom of God. I don't deserve any of the good gifts that he's given me. There is no merit in myself. There is nothing of my own ability that causes me to deserve the good gifts that his kingdom brings. But I thank God that he can take something small and insignificant and he can put it in his kingdom and it can grow. And the point of the mustard seed is that pretty soon that thing grows and all of a sudden it's a tree and now it's providing shelter for the birds. It's a perfect picture of ministry that God can take something or someone so small and seemingly insignificant by this world's standards and he can plant them in his kingdom and they can grow until they are affecting the lives of others. That is the power of the kingdom. Oh, somebody just lift your hands to the Lord right now and thank him for the power of his kingdom. Would you just lift up your voice and say, "Lord, I thank you that you placed me in your kingdom." Come on, somebody just tell him, "Lord, I thank you that you placed me." Oh, I gotta pause here on this point for just a minute. Some of you remember where you were when God found you. Anybody remember where you were when God picked you up? When God put you in his kingdom? Anybody remember the long way off that he brought you from when he put you in the kingdom? You might remember a day in your life when the world would have looked at you like many would look at that mustard seed. It's really small. It has nothing great to offer. Oh, but aren't you thankful that he planted us in his kingdom? He put us in his kingdom. And now you've grown and you're growing in him. And though one time you might have been afar off, now your family's in the kingdom too. And now your children are blessed. And maybe your grandchildren are blessed. All because a good and gracious God allowed you to be planted in his kingdom. Aren't you thankful for the power of his kingdom? The power of the kingdom is illustrated in the parable of the leaven and the bread. That woman took a little bit of that leaven, a little bit of that yeast, if you will, and put it into the lump of bread. And just that little bit of leaven put in the right place and in the right environment. I said it earlier in the year, I'm not a bread baker. I've done it once or twice, but just a little bit of that leaven. Just a little bit of that yeast. What's that bread that they make where they pinch off a little piece and they save it for later and make another loaf and then they pinch off a little bit of that and say, is it friendship bread? Somebody? Yeah, friendship bread. Well, that sounds good right about now, doesn't it? I ought to quit preaching so we can take a little bit and all you got to do is put a little bit of it in. What's that mean? The power of the kingdom is that it has the power to infect everything it touches. There is nothing like the kingdom in all the universe. That when you get the kingdom of God in your life, it will affect and infect every area of your life. The kingdom of God, when it touches a life or when it touches a family, it goes viral, to use modern terminology. It affects everything that it touches. You can't get in the kingdom and your life not be changed. You can't get in the kingdom and stay like you are. You can come as you are, but honey, you get in the kingdom, you're not gonna stay as you are. Because Jesus said you gotta be born again of the water and the spirit to even see the kingdom of God. That's how you enter the kingdom of God. What does that mean? That means to get in the kingdom of God, there's gonna be a transformation that takes place from the very beginning. And that kingdom is like that little bit of leaven. It's gonna affect everything in your life. I'm glad the kingdom just doesn't affect my Sunday and Wednesday life, but the kingdom affects my life on Monday, and on Tuesday, and on Thursday, and Friday and Saturday. The kingdom affects everything it touches. That's why we come to God first in repentance. That's why repentance is so important. That's why John said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was he saying? He was not saying change your life to conform with some religious doctrine. He wasn't saying change your life to conform to some church practice or church protocol. He was saying repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was he saying? He was saying you got to conform your life to the will of the king. You've got to conform your life to the word of the king. If you're going to be in this kingdom, you got to allow that king to change your life. And aren't you thankful tonight that he is still in the life-changing business? That just like that leaven in the loaf, it affects everything it touches. That is the power of the kingdom. The power of the kingdom is shown in the parable of the pearl of great price. And it is simply that the kingdom is the most powerful thing in your life. It's the most valuable thing in illustrated by a man who sells everything to buy a pearl. One pearl. No treasure chest to put it in. He sold everything. No house to store it in. He sold everything. No car to drive it around and show it off in. He sells everything. He puts all of his eggs, if you will, into one basket. He's invested all in one place. Oh, can I admonish someone tonight? Encourage someone tonight. Don't diversify your kingdom, your life investments. I know we talk about natural investments, monetary investments being diversified, but you cannot diversify the investment of your life. You got to put it all into the kingdom. You got to put it all into the kingdom. And when he sells everything and puts it all into the kingdom, when you sell out your life for the kingdom of God, nothing else matters, because you've got the most valuable thing in the universe. You've got the kingdom of God. You've got something that you can't get anywhere else. Something that you can't find any other place. You've got the kingdom, and it's powerful. It's like the pearl of great price. It's the most valuable thing in your life. Oh, I feel like we ought to just lift our hands and our voices one more time and say, Lord, I thank you for the kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us, Lord, to give ourselves completely to your kingdom. Oh God. Oh God. It's kingdom first. It's first the kingdom. The power of the kingdom finally tonight is illustrated in the parable of the hidden treasure. For the man, again, it's similar. It's a akin to the parable of the pearl of great price. And as you've already probably discovered long before this service, many of these parables share similar themes as the Lord is reiterating the power and the impact and the scope of the kingdom. But the power of the kingdom is illustrated in the parable of the man who gets rid of everything to buy the field, to invest in a field. Why? Because there's a treasure in the field. And the power of the kingdom is illustrated in that when you put everything you have and everything you are into the kingdom, you will never wind up with less. When you put your life into the kingdom, when you say, "My life is in your hands," you will never wind up with less. But he gets everything and he puts it into that field. There's no house, there's no mansion, there's no pool, there's just a field. What is in the field? He sees something worth giving his life for. He sees something worth going through the process of selling all that he has. The Bible says he, with joy, sells all that he has. Think about the process. I mean, that was probably more than one garage sale. That was probably more than one Craigslist posting or one Facebook Marketplace posting. He goes through the process of selling all that he has, and he buys an empty field. And people might have said, "What in the world are you doing? You got this and you got that." He said, "But I want that field. I want that field." Why? Because the treasure of the kingdom is worth giving your all to. There is nothing like the kingdom of God. The power. Power of every one of these parables that illustrate the kingdom of God is only released when we submit our lives to the King. The power is only released when we submit our lives to His Spirit, when we submit our lives to His law. The power of the kingdom is released through submission. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And so he said, "After this manner pray ye," Matthew 6 and verse 9, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." What are you saying? You're acknowledging that there is a King and his name is above every name. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed," high and lifted up, "be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." The power of the kingdom is encapsulated in that second phrase of that prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Read on in the prayer. And as you study the kingdom parables, you understand that it would be a misappropriated prayer to sit back and to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," and then do nothing. It would be a prayer amiss. To sit back and say, "Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done," but then take no action on that prayer. Because we understand that in this kingdom, in this church, in the New Testament body of Christ, He has bound His kingdom. He's wrapped it up. And He operates His kingdom through the agency of human submission, human activity, and human hands and human feet. He has wrapped His kingdom up in his body. And so to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, is to pray, Lord, I invite you to use me in your kingdom. I invite you to use me to achieve your purpose. To pray his kingdom come is to pray first, Lord, let it come in me. To pray his will be done is to realize that as if his kingdom comes in me, then his will can be done in this world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Just look at the parables. What would happen if the people prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, but they did nothing? What if the man doesn't sow the seed? Nothing happens. Nothing happens. What if the man doesn't plant the mustard seed? Nothing happens. What if the woman doesn't put the yeast in the dough? What if the man doesn't sell everything that he has? What if the man doesn't buy the pearl? What if the fisherman doesn't cast the net? What happens? Nothing happens. Because God's kingdom is wrapped up in human hands. It's wrapped up in human feet. It lays under the radar. It lays unrealized until my hands and my feet say, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Nothing happens until my hands and my feet follow with their actions the words of my mouth. Lord, let your will be done and let your kingdom. I feel the call of the Spirit tonight. I feel God working on some hearts and lives tonight. I'm not ashamed to tell you, I wrestled to a great degree. Excuse me. I wrestled to a great degree with what to preach in this service. And I prayed about various things. I fasted and prayed over. And I couldn't get away from just the kingdom. The kingdom, Lord, let your kingdom come in our lives. And if on this Sunday night, every member of the kingdom under the sound of my voice could recommit yourself to the kingdom, could reconsecrate yourself, Lord, we pray your kingdom come. Lord, we pray your will be done. If we could recommit and reconsecrate ourselves to his kingdom. God, I give myself to your kingdom. Lord, I consecrate myself to your kingdom. If everybody in this room could do that, I wonder what God could do in our lives in the next month. I wonder what God could do in your families in the next 3 months. I wonder what God could do in this church in the next 6 months if we would rededicate ourselves to, Lord, your kingdom come and, Lord, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Oh, if you feel the pull of the kingdom, I invite you to stand together with me. And if you feel the pull of the kingdom, I invite you to step out of where you're at and walk down to this altar. And I invite you to bow a knee or to bow a head. And I invite you to pray a prayer of submission. And I invite you to pray a prayer of rededication and reconsecration tonight. Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done. Let your kingdom come in me. Let your will be done in me. And Lord, by praying that prayer, I recognize that if your kingdom can come in my life, and if your kingdom can come in my family, then your kingdom can come in my world. And your will can be done in those around me. Oh, would you lift up your voice right now? Would you lift up your voice? Would you let the cry of desire be heard loud in this place right now? Lord, we pray. Lord, we pray your kingdom come. And Lord, we pray your will be done. Oh God, I pray that you would fuel our prayer right now with a vision of what could be if your kingdom would come. Lord, I pray that our prayer tonight would be fueled with a clear and articulate vision of what could be realized if your kingdom would come and if your will would be done. Oh, we lift our voice to you. And God, we lift our hearts to you. And we lift our lives to you. Come on, that's it. Lift up your voice and pray that prayer. Lord, we pray your kingdom. God, we pray your will. In the name of Jesus. 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 We give ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you.
The reason my kingdom will stand is because it is founded upon my word. And it was founded, it was formulated before the foundation of the world. And it has lasted and it will last. And so you need not fear to claim your citizenship and your submission and your commitment to the kingdom. Other earthly things will pass away, but my kingdom shall never pass away. So let the winds of doubt and let the other kingdoms rise high now, but stay steadfast in your commitments to my kingdom. And those commitments shall bring to pass my will in your life and in this world. I commend you and encourage you tonight. Your steadfastness in my kingdom shall bring great victory in your life and into the kingdom, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Yes.